Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tron. Han, how are you this evening?
I am doing swell, Jim, doing swell. Hey, Jim, let me take this segment for a few seconds, because I am down here in Florida, and my Floridian neighbors and colleagues and residents and so on, especially on the East Coast of Florida, is batting down and hoping for the best. I'd just like to express and wish them good safety and coming out of the Dorian visit with as little harm and damage as possible. Okay, because it's going to hit them hard, and they're not getting away from it, but hopefully it's not too much of too much damage, and everybody. Is safe. That's an important thing. Hey, Jim?
No, absolutely. You're right. We spend all our time talking about these kind of things, about dentistry and dental offices and designing an office and making sure an office is the most attractive and, first impressions and, what's the best delivery method and all that stuff. But when you think about it, the whole human factor of what Mother Nature gets to throw at us, and for the folks that are in harm's way, we obviously think about them and hope that it turns out for the best, because buildings can be rebuilt, facilities can be replaced, but obviously, when you have a loss of human life like what happened in the Bahamas, you just can't replace that. So it is something that you have to be so careful of. Not that I'm being kind of jaded, but that's one reason why I don't live in Florida, Han. you guys have all your great weather, but you've got those nasty things called hurricanes. I mean, we get occasional tornado up here in the Midwest, but nothing like those hurricanes. And I've been in a few in my visits and had some construction sites go through them, and it's just nasty stuff. It is really just nasty. So, we're thinking about everybody out there, and obviously, batten down those hatches, as one would say. I know my dad lives down in Central Florida around the Orlando area, and we check in on him and make sure he's got everything prepared and that kind of stuff. So we're thinking about y'all.
Yeah, I know a few, a couple of our projects is over there on the East Coast. So those dentists became friends and all that, and I know that they have battened down, and hopefully they had evacuate, and so find safety and return to it and put the pieces together and fix more teeth.
Definitely, okay? Definitely. But well, tonight is Straight Talk episode number 45, and. Han and I were discussing what we wanted to do for our topic the other day, and one that really came up to us that we really not talked about in all the previous 44 episodes at length is timing. How long does it take? How long really does it take? We have that question so many times. If it isn't the first question, it's the second question. The first question is going to be how much? And the second is going to be how long, or it's the other way around. How long and how much? Now, are they related?
And they can see that under one breath. Yeah.
Yeah. Without even taking a breath, are they related? Yes. And kind of no, in the sense that good quality design is just one aspect of the duration or the timing necessary for a dental project. So you got to define when you say, how long is it going to take? Well, the first question we ask, okay, what do you want us to perform before we can even answer that question? Because it's one thing to say, how long is it going to take to design the office? Okay, what is your definition of design? Is it just a dental floor plan, like our schematic design floor plan that we put out? That's one duration. Is it full-blown working drawings, taking them all the way through to construction so you can get permits? That's another level of design and work. Or is it all the way through construction, where you're doing construction administration to the point that you can move in? That's a totally different duration. And so tonight we're going to talk about all those things to get a better idea for you as you plan. You know, plan what's coming up and plan moving forward. And we're going to talk about those pitfalls because we see and have seen a lot of them, a lot of pitfalls that dentists have run into. And so, you know, hopefully there will at least be able to forewarn that you can make sure that you don't let that happen and make sure that you can get this done in the quickest and fastest possible way. Now,
Jim, let me share two words on this before we go on farther in. I think when it comes with time and cost, but this is about time. The entire team, that is from the design side, the construction side, and the ownership side, time is something that we can manage. We can't control it. Okay, that's a big difference, is that we can manage what we have in terms of time, but you can't control the entire duration. And that really, I think that's the crux of the whole process, is managing it and not control it. Jim?
Yep, that makes absolute sense. So let's define a scenario where you're looking at a renovation of a retail space in a retail center. Okay. That's a different scope than a new build. So on a renovation of a retail space in a retail center, you're going to go in and change whatever is existing into a new dental facility. You don't have to build exterior walls. You don't have to build roof. You don't have to do any of that stuff. All right. What are the factors that you run into that address the time? Well, we start from the beginning. We don't start from midway through. We start from the beginning. The beginning is, all right, you've got to negotiate the lease for that space. Well, go back to some of our previous podcasts. You'll understand what we're talking about. You actually want to be able to have an idea of just how many square feet you want, and how do you do that? Well, you hire us or a competent designer who has expertise in dental design, dental architecture, and create a preliminary floor plan that will identify how many square feet that you want. Let's say there's 30,000 square feet available, but you don't need all 30,000 square feet. Well, how much are you going to carve off? Well, that all depends on your scope. That all depends on what you want to do, what your practice needs to be. You know, is it a 10 op? Is it a 7 op? Is it a 6 op? Is it a 20 op? We don't know. It all depends on what you want it to be. So we have to go through that design process, create at least a preliminary so that you can get an idea of, okay, I need 3,500 square feet. Then we carve that out of the existing footprint, and then you're at that point where you have a conceptual floor plan along with the ability to negotiate your lease. Now, Han, how long does that take? typically?
I think typically roughly 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, that makes sense.
Can it be done? Can it be done quicker? Yes. It also can take longer. It all depends on the amount of information that's available. Often we get, invited to the project and there is not a stitch of information pertaining to the building. So a lot of digging, measuring, and all that stuff need to be done. So you have to gather the facts before you can design. But the whole entire process, you should take comfortably about, roughly two weeks to a month, so that you have, you put in the design time, and the consultation and all that stuff to a point where you say, this is a plan, this will work, let's go with that.
Right.
Answer your question.
Don't let anyone tell you in the design world that they'll get what you want on paper the very first time. It doesn't happen. I mean, we get close. We get sometimes very, very close. But most likely, you want to plan into your design process time for your preliminary floor plan enough time to be able to make a review and make revisions to that so that you can tweak it to get it exactly the way you want. Because now's the time to do that. You'll save yourself thousands and thousands of hours and tens of thousands of dollars doing it now, as opposed to when you get into the construction and you're under construction, then you have to try to make changes during that time. That is the quickest way to destroy a schedule and blow a budget. And you don't want to be in that position. Spend the extra day, two, spend the extra week, whatever necessary to get it exactly the way you want it come day one. Earlier the better. We see that happen all the time, don't we, Han?
All the time. You know, there also in the design process, it's not a matter of just how fast. I've seen so many design that are posted for critique, and it's put together in such a haphazardly manner that you just kind of scratch your head and say, my God, what were they smoking? there's a thing about there's a designing and there's designing it right. You look at a retail store retail facility, for instance, a lot of times I see things that are done like bathroom facilities, back up to a glass wall. I say, be serious, all right? Doing the design work properly, correctly, and to the code takes time. So it's not a process that you want that you want your designer to rush through, so that they can meet their claim that it can be done in a week or 3 days. All right, be real. This is about the realistic of being realistic about what the real world involved, not just false promises.
So some of the pitfalls that you're actually alluding to are very important for our listeners. The first pitfall is pick an extremely competent design team, because we have the ability to be able to move quickly through the process and help expedite things. Whereas in a non-competent, and I don't mean that in a derogatory term, I mean that in the sense that they just don't have the experience. So they've got to learn at the same time as create what you're trying to accomplish. So there's that learning curve. Well, you pick the right design team, there's no learning curve. We already know what dentistry and what good dental design looks like. It's a matter of implementing it to your specific desires. So you've got to make sure you've got a very competent design team, an architect specifically who does dentistry and has done a lot of it and knows their way through the quagmire that's out there. That's the pitfall number one. Pitfall number two you must be able to provide and carve away enough time to quickly and systematically be able to answer questions and provide input. Because every day that you haven't provided that answer or input to the design team is one more day that's knocked off the clock. You never get it back. You can't say, okay, now I've given you these answers 3 weeks late. Now, can you get it all done in a day? That's, you know, that's not realistic. And it doesn't happen that way. Con?
I know you're chomping at the bit to get into that topic. Yeah, because it's real, you know, really, there isn't a magic button on the computer. You say, you know, I push this and voila. Maybe there is a button called print, but it only print what you have already created. Okay, you have to be real. What Jim is saying is that, you know, and I had said it many times as well, is that you, the owner, could make it or break it in terms of how you function, how expediently you can make decisions, digest it. You know, if none of us on the design or the construction side expect a client, a dentist, to know and be familiar with the lingo and, you know, the assembly of buildings and the codes and all that stuff, it's our job to know, okay? But our job is also to educate the client to a point where they're comfortable and informed enough to make decisions. Once that educational process is done, it is your duty, your responsibility to make the decision, and that way your team can move forward. I often say that if there's a cog in the whole process, you don't want to be that cog, okay? And we find ourselves on project where our client, smart people, but they can't make a stinking decision.
Yeah, don't be the bottleneck. Do not be the bottleneck that causes the funnel to get jammed up. So, and this holds true, these pitfalls hold true for whether you're doing a renovation or whether you're doing a new build. It doesn't matter. Both of those are germane to these two particular pitfalls, which are the two big ones. Getting your competent design team and getting timely answers to questions that are asked by an information to that design team. So, okay, now we've gotten through the point of, on this particular scenario, we've got your design down, your floor plan is knocked out perfectly, you like every aspect about it, you thought about it, you slept on it for a couple, 2 or 3 days or a week, whatever you want to do, and you say, okay, no more changes, I like it exactly, run with it. How important, Han, is it for that to be true as opposed to, well, let's just go with this and then later on down the road, if I want to make a change, I'll make a change?
That's a great question, Jim. It's very important to make a definitive answer. Yes, there will be minor tweaks and change in the process that have very little effects on, you know, on the entire project. But the decision to make decision and go forward is that what it does is it allow the rest of the team. See, the face that you see initially would be the designer or the architect. You know, they take the information you provide, take your ideas and your aspiration, and come up with a layout or a design that meets your requirement and so on and so on. But that's where things they're just starting out. Okay, the real big heavy lifting is done once that is done, once that design has been approved because the rest of the design team consists of your engineer. And now we're talking about build out, whether it's in an office building or a retail strip. This is strictly about, involved the build out is the engineers, the mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineers. They rely, their work are usually involved in the approved layout. So because they don't design different system as things solidify in terms of the design, they work and calculate based on what the architects or the designer have already got approved by the owner. Okay, and that there. So it's important that you come to a point where you say, I like this. Where do I sign off? And that's why often we get to ask the client, is there anything else that you see that needs to be tweaked and so on? If not, please give me your John Hancock. That way we know this process is done. We can hand it off to the rest of the team and everybody run and throw as much ink onto the paper as possible to get that process to the point where you can submit for a permit and start building. Okay, so it's a very important process, milestone where you say, the design part is done and, approved it. So everybody on the team know you are done with changes. Jim?
Right, and those changes have to do with, spaces, systems, areas that their adjacencies, those kind of things. That you want to make sure that's all defined and established, how the building flows, all that kind of good stuff. Again, a high quality dental architect who understands this and has done it over and over and over again will be able to help expedite things and get it done faster without a doubt. Now, there are a multitude of things that will be reviewed and discussed as you develop these drawings. But the milestone that's established, we're done with the initial design. The next step is what we consider design development, and that's in integrating the engineers, as Hannes talked about. And that's when you really get into the nitty and the gritty. You get into what kind of floor material we're going to use, what kind of wall material, what's the wall colors going to be, what are the lights going to be, what are the ceilings, how are they going to look, are there soffits, where are there soffits, how the equipment integrates into the systems, the HVAC, meaning the heating and the air conditioning system, the plumbing system, all that stuff starts to be integrated into the design. And, how is that to build or flow? If you're a build out, like we're talking about in this scenario, engineers are going to work off the existing and try to figure out how to be able to utilize them. If new ones need to be added, that's when this would be brought up. All that stuff then gets integrated so that at the end of the design development, you have all of the questions answered. And we mean all of them. You can list what color carpet, what kind of carpet. You can list what kind of piece of equipment, where it's going to go. Who makes that equipment? Is it new equipment? Is it used equipment? What's the requirements for that? All that stuff is done. You identify it, you put it into the document so that when the construction documents, which is the next phase, when they're created, that is just a matter of us creating the necessary drawings that somebody can build from and get a building permit from. Okay. Those two issues or those two phases of the work take how long, hon? On a build out. And I know it's based upon the square footage, but on a normal basis, you get a range.
Design development
and the construction documents.
The design development is relatively short period of time, a couple of weeks at that. Okay. Again, what Jim's saying is that by the time that design development phase is done, you should have all, if not most, of your I's dotted and your T's crossed. The rest is just simply, you know, putting all the pieces together. That entire process takes roughly about two to three months to do it thoroughly. But there's a lot of coordinations involved. There's just you've got a smaller army of people working together, you know, putting pieces together, calculations, detailing, and all that. Of course, that's the typical time frame. Can be done faster? Yes. Can it be done longer? Yes. It depends on the amount of information that's available. One of the things, Jim, that I find that often delay the process, and I hear it all the time, is that you don't, you know, specifically say to the client that it's involved in the equipment, particularly the dental equipment. It always seems like getting information, whether from the client or their supplier, it's a very arduous process sometimes. Because
like pulling
information. Okay, we can use that pun, because it's, yeah, a lot of time it depends on whether the client, the owner, is going to buy new or used, whether they're going to reuse what they have and subsidize and replace the old stuff, with new and integrated and all that. That whole process, it seems like I have not seen an efficient way that is done, because it's, you know, we don't sell equipment, and the vendors usually prefer to deal with the owner. And they often doesn't seem to be very proactive or very excited about having to work with the design team, the architects. They often say that they have their own design team. They don't. Okay, their work is only good on paper for their team, their installer, their tech guy to install. But the stuff that they do cannot be built legally, cannot be sealed and built with the flow of information from the supply side to the owner, to us. It just seems like it flows slower than molasses on a cold day. And that affects schedules. It affects the rest of the team. It affects where we put things, how we put things, what exactly is going into the project.
Okay. Right. So if we're not getting the necessary information from one of the team members, it's just like the owner not making a decision in a timely manner. It just knocks off days, which tend to knock off weeks. And the next thing you know, you're 2 or 3 weeks behind your anticipated schedule. So to recap, you're at 4 weeks for the initial plan. You're basically 8 to 12 weeks to get to the point of construction and documents, all right, which means in total we're up to 12 to 14 weeks. So 12 to 14
yep.
weeks from the day you say ready to go, you're going to be able to have construction documents that you can start your permitting and bidding process on if you're going to use a general contractor.
Yep.
The government approval for permitting could be anywhere. It all depends on how busy they are. It all depends on how they're staffed. It could be that you have zoning issues. And now, thankfully, in this scenario where we're talking about a retail center or an office building, more than likely you shouldn't have any zoning issues, but they still have to be checked. But let's say you don't have any zoning issues, so you just go straight into the building department. The building department may be 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 2 months. It all depends on what their schedule's like. So that's something that you and I, that Han, that anyone really can't determine until you talk with the specific building official in your area where you're going to be doing the work. So typically, we like to plan for at least 4 weeks, only because a lot of times, sure, you might be able to get it out of there faster, and a lot of times it's longer, but for an average, we say 4 weeks. So, you know, if you use 3 to 4 weeks for government approval and bidding, you're right now at 15 to 20 weeks in total from the day you say go. So 20 weeks from the day you say go is when you're at a point where you can start construction. Now, how long does construction take? Beats the heck out of us, doesn't it, Hon? Because we have no idea of the scope. How big is it? What has to be done? You know, are you tearing up 90% of the floors because of the way the layout caused the situation? We have no idea. Construction on a renovation can be all over the place. So that's one of the main questions you ask your bidder, or hopefully you're going to use a construction manager, and they're asking the trade contractors way into the design process how long it's going to take to do this particular work, or how long it's going to take us to do that particular task, so you get a better idea. But for someone to say, well, we can get that all done in 3 months, or we can get that all done in 2 weeks or whatever, they're just saying something for you to hear it. And they're hoping that's what you want to hear and get you to sign on the bottom line. Because no one knows what it's going to take until you actually have it defined. And then they're going to say, okay, here's my schedule. And there's a bunch of pitfalls, aren't there, Hon? What are all the pitfalls in construction?
Yeah, actually, let me expand on a couple points here, Jim. Let me see, historically, if everything goes well, you have a good competent construction contractor on the job working on a tenant fit out. You should be able to get into the new space from start to finish of the construction process, roughly about 3 to 4 months. Okay, that's the usual. But yes, Jim is right. There's a lot of things that happen that you go, oh my gosh, how this happens. I'll give you an example. We did a project. And we submitted for permit, and it went through and got approved in 3 weeks. It is a retail facility. The space was a large space that needed to be subdivided. The landlord is supposed to, is responsible for subdividing it and building a demising wall to separate the space to give our client the space that she had leased. She can't build until the landlord subdivides the space and the utilities and all that stuff. That process, the day she signed the lease to the day that she actually can start building, and she already have the permit, took over 4 months. That time frame, that duration was something that was unforeseen. We can't manage that because it's something out of our control, out of her control. It was totally because the landlord did not have their ducks in a row. Okay, there's a lot of things that could happen that just kind of throws your schedule out of the window. But if everything is aligned, everything is in proper order, it should take you about 3 to 4 months. Okay.
Which is 12 to 16 weeks. So you total up all the weeks that we've talked about, you're at 27 to 36 weeks, which is basically 6 3/4 to 9 months. From the day you say go to the day you're able to move your stuff into that new space on a renovation or retail center of an office building or a retail facility. That's kind of the normal plan for it. Can it be done a little shorter? Yeah. But everything has to run extremely smooth and quickly, some of which are totally out of the control of the team, like the government approvals, like the tenant, or excuse me, the landlord, and what they have to do. But if everything is done extremely smoothly, you might get it on that low side in the 6 month range, but don't plan on it. You plan on that 9 months and hope for the 6 to 7 months. Wouldn't you say, Hon?
Yeah, you have to. I think it would be wise if you have a little bit more time to get things done. Then not enough, okay? Because when things happen, you want to be able to, to give it a little bit more time so that way you can breathe and it'd be less stressful. For those listeners or those who have tuned into the program this evening, if you come to a designer or an architect and say, I got a space and can you do, I got a month or two before I need to move in. Please do yourself a favor and step back and go to plan B. There isn't anybody that I have ever worked with or that are that risky where they make that kind of promise to a client that they can get them into a space in a couple of months. Because there is so many things that are unknown and that are out of their control to make that kind of promises. We recently spoke to an individual that reached out to us, and he'd say he did a small space, okay? And what was shocking to him was that the permitting process took 4 months. This was a small little space, and it took 4 months. And I asked, why? What happened? And he'd say, well, the engineer didn't do this or that. If you have the wrong member of the team doing everything, that is a sign of disaster. Because there's each discipline of professions. You have your mechanical engineer, your architect, your plumbing and electrical. They all have their own specialties. If they take on the discipline they're not familiar with for whatever reason, and you get to be the guinea pig, bad things going to happen. In that particular case, it did happen. Okay, get the right team, the right people who know their stuff, who's responsible for their stuff, and don't play Russian roulette with your project. 4.5 months for a dental office to go through the permitting process is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I've known a few dentists on Dental Town that tell me that, they went through their municipality, take that long. I have to scratch my head and ask them why. Okay, because for a permitting process to go through 4 months, it should be involved building a nuclear facilities, okay, not a dentist's office. Okay, four weeks, maybe a little bit more, is extreme. Like Jim said, there's a number of things that can happen. Is that maybe the municipality do not do their own review and they use a third party consultant to do it, but still, the process. You have documentation done thoroughly, your code analysis done early. You dot all your I's, cross your T's, and you provide sufficient information so that they can review it and know where the heck this, how the heck this project is going to be built. Then that process should be pretty easy to walk through. But if you give them a blank piece of paper with a lot of holes, that's done by, Joe engineer who've never done architecture before, you're going to find yourself in trouble, okay? And so getting the right team is a crucial thing to have. Jim?
Exactly. All right, let's jump over to the new build, okay? Because new build is a different timetable, and because there's a lot more other steps to it. You have to deal with a lot more aspects of the building. The first thing in a new build you have to deal with is the site. All right. Han and I have no control over how long it takes you to tie down a site with your site acquisition people. Now, obviously, we have individuals that can help you out with that as part of our team, but it could be anywhere from a couple, 2 or 3 weeks to a couple, 2 or 3 years. I mean, it happens. So we're going to take the site aspect out of it in the sense of acquiring the site, but, you know, be forewarned. If you want to do a new build, don't expect to be able to go out and get a site in the, you know, 1 or 2 weeks and be able to move forward with it. Han, you wanted to say something about that aspect?
Yeah, it's because there are so many, you know, okay. As you go through your, due diligence process, hopefully you do. You may find that, you know, the land is half of it is underwater or part of, you know, is wetland, so you don't have enough property, or you can't get access to it. So the only way through it is through the back of somebody else's property. You know, there's just so many things that we can't manage. You know, perhaps you don't have any utility that can be brought to the site without taking out another extra loan. Make sure that you have time, that you plan. You know, like Jim said earlier, that a build out takes about 9 months. Okay, a from the ground up structure, it takes twice that, if not more. So don't go out on that with that approach or with that objective and go, I can get, you know, I buy a piece of land, we'll whip up a building and we'll be there, you know, in 6 months. If anybody tells you that, run. Right? It's something that you can't control. It's very difficult to even attempt. Jim?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So let's go down through our list again. To create the initial floor plan, and in this case, you would also be creating an initial site plan. So that's going to take us a little longer. We typically like to see that we schedule about 8 weeks to get that accomplished. That gives
It
gives you the overall design, gives you all the adjacencies, gives you the site plan, the parking, the integration of adjacencies to other properties, gives you some evaluation as to whether there are, you know, utilities and those kind of things available, whether there's the necessary storm drainage issues that are there. So there's a little pile of work that's different than a design of a retail space or an office building that exists. So we like to see that done in 8 weeks. Now, for construction documents, again, there's more. There's civil drawings that have to be created. There's exterior components, roofs, walls, everything else that have to be created, foundations, those kind of things. So, Han, am I correct in thinking that we probably like to see 12 to 16 weeks?
Yeah, that's reasonable. There's a lot more. Let me see. There's a lot more team member on the project if you do from the ground up too. Okay.
Right. So we're looking at three to four. Yeah. So we're looking at 3 to 4 months to get through the design development, where you're picking out everything from exterior materials, wall finishes, whether you're going to use brick, whether you're going to use siding, whatever you're going to use out there. interior materials, all that kind of stuff, what kind of roof you're going to use, whether you're going to have roof screens to cover your HVAC equipment. Is the HVAC equipment going to be on the roof? Is it going to be in the basement? I mean, all those things that have to be integrated into. And then the actual creation of the construction documents. So, you know, that's a 3 to 4 month period. Now, we jump to the phase of, okay, government approvals. Well, now you've got two. You definitely have planning and zoning. Planning and zoning will want to know about everything when it comes to do with the civil component, with the civil engineer. And a lot of times they also want to know what the exterior of the architecture of the building looks like and the layout of such. Now, planning and zoning is another one of those things that could be a quick process, and it could take forever. I'll relate a little story there. Tempe, Arizona, and I don't need to, you know, pick on anybody that's out in Tempe, Arizona, but Tempe, Arizona is a landlocked community surrounded by all the other communities, so they have no new property. So everything they do is built on existing property that's being reworked or redone. Planning process out there and planning and zoning, you plan on 1 year minimum. That's what it takes, 1 year. So it literally could be something that takes quite a long time. You need to really get an idea of what that's like when you make that decision that you want to do a new build. Investigate how long it takes to get through planning and zoning, because you can't get a building permit until you've got planning and zoning approval. Sometimes there's public hearings. Sometimes there's review with staff. Sometimes there's both. They invite sometimes the public in to make recommendations and or comments, yay or nay. I mean, it is a bureaucratic mess. But it is what it is. You have to work through it. Get somebody that knows the process. We always recommend that if there is a civil engineer that's on the job, we like to use somebody that's local who is thoroughly knowledgeable about that process and can help kind of spearhead that through and make sure that everything is done in the right timely fashion. Sometimes you can start that early and get it done earlier in the process, and you don't have to wait to go all the way through construction documents to get that accomplished. But start it as soon as you can, but at the same time, understand that they may come back and say, no, we're not going to allow you to build the building with siding. You have to have brick. We've heard that, haven't we, Han?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, it's a mandatory requirement. Planning and zoning in that community says the outside of the building has to be brick and stone. That's all we allow. That's all we approve. There's communities that are like that.
Yeah, now what Jim didn't have to say is this. Through the zoning process, all right, one of the reasons why it takes longer than anything else when you deal with the city is that they only meet once a month. Okay, so if they get you on the agenda for the 1st of March, let's say, in September. Let's say the 1st of October, and you didn't get everything together to present your case. The next chance you have will be the 1st of November. All right, that's why it takes so stinking long. There is no other way to put it than this. The zoning process is a pain in the butt process. It takes time, it takes money, it takes lots of patience. So you got to give it time. Jim?
Right. So our recommendation on that pitfall is start it as early as possible. Hire a very competent civil engineer who understands the zoning and planning process thoroughly, has gone through it, has a great working relationship with the local planning and zoning folks, and that will pay you dividends in the way of timing. that will help get things accomplished that typically would take forever. And obviously we work directly with those, the civil engineer and the consultant, to help create the necessary documents that they need to have to be able to get it accomplished. And every place is different. Some places may have very minimal planning and zoning requirements. Others, you know, like Tempe, like some places in Chicago, in that community, you know, the more urban communities are very, very, very stringent and take quite a long time. So we're not really able to put a timetable on that, but let's say that it plan on at least 2 to 3 months. You know, it's a good basis to at least plan on two to three months. So now, you know, you've got 3 to 4 weeks to do the working drawing, get to the point of working drawings, plus another 8 weeks for the design. So that's another month. So you're basically 4 to 5 months to get to the permitting process, to start the permitting. Obviously, permitting still has to be done. And so that's going to easily fit within the 2 to 3 months of planning and zoning. So you've got 4 months, you got 7 months at a high side and or longer, and 5 months. So you're at 5 to 7 months before you're ready to start construction from the day you said go. So 5 to 7 months at that point, you know, half a year. It's taken you half a year to get to the point of, okay, now I'm ready to start construction. How long's construction start cost? Or take? Well, again, how big is the project? We don't know. You know, a larger project takes longer time. A smaller project, of course, takes smaller time. But on average, minimum, what, hon? 6 to 9 months?
Usually on the high side of 9 months.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a house. You're not building a house.
No.
Even if it's the size of the home you live in, because it involves a lot more technical requirement. You know, because there's a big difference between building a residential property versus a commercial property. So it takes a lot more. It's more complicated, and you have a lot more coordination. You know, building a home, you got basically one person that coordinates everything. That's your contractor, and he coordinates with their subs. He makes all the decisions and so on and so on. And, you know, but in a commercial project, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that, it takes a while to put together.
Yeah. So yeah. If we use a 6 to 9 month duration, I mean, it might be longer, it might be a little shorter. I doubt if it's going to be much shorter, but it might be a little longer. You're looking in total of 11 to 16 months from the day you say go. So over a year from the day you say go is what you should plan on a new build to get to the point. And that's not being extremely conservative in the sense of giving you a whole lot of time. It could be longer. It could be a lot longer, but on average, at least plan for, I need every part of 16 months. And this is where you're making timely decisions. You've got a high quality design team who knows what they're doing and has done this before. You've got a high quality engineering firms that are working on the project that have done this stuff before and are able to quickly and efficiently move through this. These are realistic times. We're not saying that, oh my, this is terrible. Hon, I think we have a caller on the question. Let's see if we have a question here. 957, are you calling in to ask a question? Hello? 957, are you there? 956, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Yes, go ahead with your question.
No. I was just listening to the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Not a problem at all. Continue and enjoy.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. on where was I at? I forgot that. Oh, I was talking about the aspect of, you know, it's going to take you up to 16 months. Plan on that to be able to get with high quality engineers, high quality design staff that know and understand what's going on to be able to move through this for a new build. It's unrealistic to say I want to be in my new building in 6 months. That doesn't exist, does it?
Not in the normal world. Okay, there's always exceptions. Let's say if you decide to do something like a modular structure that are built in a factory like a home, and then modify out in the field and stuff like that. See, that's not what we talk about, the normal construction, okay? But the realistic time frame is more like 9 months. Jim, what is there some of the factor that you can that we have experienced that could really set the schedule itself on us?
The biggest one is weather.
Yes.
And it's not weather like a hurricane that stops everything in its track. It's weather that could be as simple as rain that will stop construction if you start your construction at the wrong time of year. And that all has to do with the timing. Starting, obviously, you know, everybody says, well, I want to be ready to start in the spring as soon as possible. So, you know, as soon as the ground thaws and up north or whatever, you want to be able to start and get going so that you can get it closed in and maybe move in before the fall. Well, that's a great plan, but the problem that you run into is you're at Mother Nature's mercy, because the minute you open that hole and you dig for those foundations, you're on a timetable. And if it gets rained on and that all gets flooded, then all of a sudden you've got issues. It has to be dried out. It has to be rectified so that you can then pour your foundations and those kind of things. So you've got to be very careful that weather will destroy a schedule if you're not careful. So starting too early in the spring could be just as deadly as waiting to start way too late in the fall. So hire a quality contractor who understands that aspect of things and who may say, well, we can start earlier, but we're going to be taking a risk or a gamble. Whereas in, you know, maybe we ought to wait for 2 weeks so that we can get through this particular period and be able to hit a perfect time to be able to knock in those foundations, get them up and out of the ground and be able to move forward. Especially if you're doing something like digging a basement. Digging a basement basically creates a giant swimming pool, or in this case, a mud pit. You got to be so careful. And we've seen that happen on projects. Han's seen it. I've seen it. It happens all over the time that you got to be so careful about weather. Weather is the big one. Now, what's the next biggest problem? The owner. You even say, what? Yeah, the owner. The owner didn't listen to the advice that we gave in that don't make any changes. Because the minute you walk through that building and haven't really maybe got a total understanding of what that was like when we were talking about it in the design phase, and you start making changes, you can destroy a schedule just by saying, move this particular item. Because it has a snowball effect. So, okay, you're going to move this wall, or I'm going to change this particular area to a tenant space, or I'm going to do something like that. That has major repercussions that spiral down through all the process that has been led up to this point, or change the outside material of the building. Yikes. You have to go all the way back to almost the beginning of the process and planning and zoning to be able to get that looked at and approved and reviewed. So the owner is probably the biggest, second most destructive pitfall when you look at a schedule.
That is a fact. That is a fact. Okay. The main thing is, you have to have a end game to head for. You just don't try not to wing it and go on the fly, because everything that you do or don't do will affect the project. Your team, you can have the best contractor, the best architect. They can only do and react so fast. This happened a lot. Our client would say, "Hey, I only, what takes so long to, why is there so much work? All I'm going to do is basically move a couple walls." Okay. If you say that to a client, to a patient in your chair, the patient say, "Hey, doc, why does it cost me $5,000 and all you're just going to be doing is move a couple of teeth?" Okay, that's how ridiculous it sounds. Okay, because like Jim said, it has a snowball effect. Is that when you subdivide a space, move a wall, move a door, you're basically creating compartmentize the building smaller and smaller pieces and parts. That require new calculations on requirement for the HVAC system. We would have to look at it from an ADA standpoint, a functionality standpoint, and make sure that your wishes could be executed and still maintain the functionality of the space and what kind of value you get out of it. The worst time to make changes is when it's under construction, major changes. Because the contractor, sure, it can throw up a few more walls. The architect and engineer, sure, we can recalculate all this redefine or redesign the changes within the building. But the municipality may require for you to go through a secondary review process, which takes time. You can't do anything until they approve that. Okay. So some changes have catastrophic effects. Like Jim say that, finished material on the exterior of the building. For you, you say, what's the big deal? If I want to, I have siding and I decided to go to brick. Well, the building is designed differently and it requires different detailing, more costly implementation of structure component to carry the new material. So all those things, has great effects on your schedule, also effects on your budget. So anything that make sure that you know what you want and share that with your team at the beginning of the project, not toward the end of the project. Jim?
Yep, definitely wise words. The earlier the better, the more information, thorough review of all aspects and how you intend to use the space. You do that, it pays you dividends. Because if you wait to the end, it's going to destroy your schedule and it's going to hurt you. And we've had that discussion. What does an operatory make you a month? It should be making $25,000 to $30,000 a month. You've got a 10 operatory practice and you lose a month. That's an unbelievable amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're looking at $300,000, if I do my math right, that you never can get back. It's gone. $300,000 just gone. Now, so you got to be so cognizant of doing this as efficiently and as carefully as possible. Sure, we all know there's people out there that says they'll be able to do it faster and quicker and cheaper. be careful. I guess what Han and I wanted to get across in today's discussion, this evening's discussion, is, you know, if you're doing a renovation in a building like a retail center or an office building, you know, plan on 6 to 9 months from the day you say go to the day you can move in. Round numbers. If you're looking at a new build, not taking into account how long it's going to take you to get the piece of property, but if you're looking at a new build, you better plan on 11 to 16 months, maybe more, all depending upon the biggest unknown, which is the governmental approval process, and that's going to be particular to that particular location. Some are fast, some are slow, but obviously, you know, we put in some generic numbers to be able to hopefully get the majority of what's happening out there. What did we miss, Han? I know it's been a lot, and we've crunched a lot of numbers here.
Yeah, we do.
Probably scared a lot of people.
Well, you know, if you don't have any fear when you approach spending $500,000 to $2 million on a building, check your pulse. Okay, you have to have some reservation, but again, it's all have to do with planning. Okay. There is besides the other things, other factor that could affect the schedule on your project, has to do with the flow of the availability of labor force and material. Okay, for instance, right now off the coast of the Bermuda really doesn't count on the mainland, but on the eastern seaboard. The hurricane that about to pound on it, it's going to take a lot of material to rebuild it. Okay, so if you're looking at building a new building or build out and stuff like that, the availability of materials, goods, will affect your project in some way, whether it's in scheduling or cost. Naturally, you know, supply and demand. Okay. So those things, you have to plan your plan. Make sure you give it, a sufficient amount of time, so that you don't pin yourself in a corner, and be realistic about it. Because, like I said, earlier in the program, is that we can manage a lot of stuff. You just can't control anything. That's about it.
That's exactly. Well, hopefully we've got a few minutes over. Hopefully it was worth it. We Han and I really have enjoyed this opportunity to spend some time and help you understand really what it takes to get from point A, meaning you say, I want to start and do something, to point B, which is ready to move in. If you have any questions, want to contact Han and I, get a hold of us on our website, that's www.hjtdesign.com. Give us a call. Send us an email. Obviously, keep those email questions coming in, because we're saving them up for the next email topic. And we look forward to spending next week with you, going over another serious but at the same time hopefully informative topic that has to do with dentistry and dental design.
Now,
Han?
My last word, Jim? Yeah.
Go ahead.
What Jim didn't mention is that if you need to talk to us or want to talk to us and have a design consultation, go on to our website and schedule a time, and we'll be happy to answer your question. There's no obligation. So that way, at least you get information, you can be informed, so it help you to make wiser, smarter decision for yourself. Okay. Do take advantage of that. But with that, I appreciate all of you spending the hour with us. If you're on the East Coast of the United States, be safe. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.